Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. Rob Jolis is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back now over 10 years that Rob has been with us. We celebrate, last time he was with us, we celebrated his 10th anniversary, and he's the president of Jolis Associates. He's one of the top salesmanship experts in the galaxy. He's written a number of books on the topic, including customer-centered selling, including, and that's the paperback. And they're also, I'm happy to have the hard copy as well. Also, Mental Agility and the way of the Road Warrior. Rob Jolis, welcome back to the show.
That's good to be here. And don't forget How to Run Seminars and Workshops.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Yeah, actually the best-selling book I've ever written. That's been on the shelves for 17 years now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Because we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Speaking
that's why
of
I
which,
throw that one in.
Speaking of which, that's exactly right. You know, one of the things, Rob, that I realized when I started doing my consulting work with small businesses back in the early 90s, back 89 actually, when I first started my small business, I had been 23 years with major corporations, and I started talking to my clients about, you know, helping them with their business. And one of the things I noticed was that they weren't having meetings. Several of them almost never got their staff together and sat around the table and talked about what they were going. They sort of did it, you know, as they were going down the hall, they'd meet in the hallway and yeah at each other, you know, and or whatever. That was before email. They weren't even sending email to each other. And I said, you know, you need to have a meeting. And I met with some resistance. It wasn't that they hadn't thought about it. They'd thought about it. They just said, and some of them actually said, well, we don't want to be like a big company. We're small here. We don't have to do this. And I wound up, convincing them to have a meeting, not five a day, but at least one a week. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, as a former Zeroid, you know, we both bleed those X's.
Yeah.
Not only did we, which I thought was brilliant of Xerox, not only did you have meetings, but you know that the first 2 weeks of employment, now I'm going back to the 80s, but
yeah,
the first 2 weeks were seen as we're going to have meetings. In those first 2 weeks, we learned how to run a meeting, and that meant what a timekeeper did, what a prospect
right
guy did, what a leader did. And so if we're going to have meetings, because we know that's how we're going to get things accomplished, let's teach our people how to actually run an efficient meeting. And if you think about that, let's just pretend that after that meeting, after teaching you that, I can make you 10% more effective at running
mm-hmm
a meeting. Do
mm-hmm
the math on a 100,000-person corporation that's meeting
right
and tell me how many millions and millions of dollars you're saving just learning how to run it.
Well, not only that, of course, you and I both know that it does get out of hand at these big companies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how some of them ever get any work done because they're in meetings all the time. But and now with the new capability of scheduling a meeting and thinking somebody else needs to attend and finding out what their schedule is and putting them down for your meeting, and you know, as if they're going to, you know, and they're supposed to comply. You know, I feel sorry for some of the guys in the big companies, but small businesses have the opposite problem, and that is not enough meetings. I have one great story, Rob. This one company were doing like $15 million a year, and they never had any meetings.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 40-something employees, and counting the truck drivers, and so I got him to agree to have a meeting. And I got a couple of his leaders together, and I said, okay, you're going to run the meeting. You're going to start this thing off. And so we got – I went there. I showed up at the end of the day, And the meeting got kicked off, and Rob, within 29 seconds, these people were talking to each other in ways that they had never done before. And I looked over at my client, and I said, my work here is done. I'll see you later. And I walked out.
That's amazing.
And they've had a meeting every week since. That's been 20 years. Well, I'm almost 20 years.
Yeah, let me throw one back at you. You know, when I do a two-day sales training class, one of the exercises...
Rob, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you tell us that when we come back after the break. We've got to take a quick one. In the meantime, I want you to give us your website, please.
www.jolles.com. It's going to be launching anew. We'll talk about that after the break, too.
Stay with us. Right back with Rob Jolles. I'm Jim Blassingame. I promise we'll be right back. Perhaps their best song ever, Rhiannon. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Articles, archives, the Brain Trust members, over probably 1,500 at least of those guys right there, including our good friend Rob Jolles, who's with us right now. Lots of stuff there, including the newsletter. Don't forget to subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. And also on the homepage, don't forget to take our poll question right there on the right. Just click on the read the question, click on the answer, and submit it, and you'll actually be able to see immediately how the poll is rolling out at that point. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. We're talking about meetings, how to have meetings, why you should have meetings, how to conduct them in a better way, and how to get the most out of them. And one of the best that I know at that is our good friend Rob Jolles. Rob, you were going to tell us a story was it going to be the companion to my story when we went to the break?
Yeah, well, I've got a bunch of stories about meetings, but I think one of my favorite stories about meeting, at least, is, you know, when I first got involved at Xerox and we came in there and we were supposed to problem solve, and which sounds like an easy thing to do, but we were supposed to be following a process. And one of the most incredible things I ever learned was having somebody actually in the room with us while we were going through this and just listening to our interactive skills. In other words, one of the reasons why when people go to meetings, one of the things that goes wrong for them is a lot of times we'll have a dominant leader. Maybe that's the manager or the person in charge. And then we have sort of the subordinates, and away we go. What we actually learned was listening to have somebody actually kick us, meaning every time we opened our mouth, were we giving information? Were we seeking information? Were we building on what was being talked about? Were we disagreeing? And if you've ever been charted, it's really interesting to see what your behavior's like in an hour meeting.
Right.
Because you'll see some people, and you already know the symptoms to the illness here, you'll see some meetings where everybody's giving information, no one's seeking information.
Right, right.
No, okay.
And one of the things I've done, I told the story about one of my clients years ago. I've had other clients where I said, okay, your people are having a meeting, but you don't get to go. You can't go to this meeting. And in fact, I've actually forbidden them to go to the meeting. I said, look, if you want the meeting to work, you need to stay away, because your people will not, two things, your people will not talk while you're there to each other. Number two, you won't be able to not run the meeting.
Right.
And you don't need to run the meeting. And it was funny. I told the guy that. And I found out later that he actually didn't do what I told him to do. He went to the meeting. The meeting bombed, and he saw what I meant.
Right. You know, I was stubborn myself, and it sounds kind of arrogant, but I wouldn't go to a meeting that didn't have an agenda that was timed. And that sounds like a little thing, but hear what I'm telling you. An agenda that is timed. Now, the next problem, of course, is people following that timed agenda.
Right.
But what if we put a meeting together, you and I, and we had at that meeting, we actually assigned somebody to be the timekeeper, who's not going to chime in and say we're out of time on coming up with ideas, but basically says we've got five more minutes to get through this first piece.
And we're leaving,
Right, and all of a sudden you see a group begin to giddy up a little bit. All right, let's stay focused.
My Rotary Club, you know, Rotary is infamous for, notorious for ending it on the hour if it's a lunch meeting at 1 o'clock. And if you're not through, if you're the speaker and you're not through at 1 o'clock, we start clapping. We start applauding. You know, but you know, the have you heard about the guy who, whenever in his company, every meeting has to be conducted standing up?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you can't have a meeting if you sit down. In fact, they take the chairs away, and he, you know, his idea is you won't stay too long if you have to stand up.
Well, I like that. I'll tell you what I also like. I also like rotating the roles. So again, let's say we have about six people. Well, we know that the manager, the person in charge, wants to be the leader. But wouldn't it help to develop our people a little bit to let them be the leader?
Yeah.
And how about this? I don't know if they had this when you were at Xerox, but you know, there's a role that, and I think it's the most important role in the meeting, more important than the leader, is what we call a process guide. And what a process guide does is their first job is to actually watch how the meeting's being run.
Make sure you stay on topic.
Stay on topic. Make sure the timekeepers.
It doesn't get out of hand.
The leader isn't dominating the meeting. How about bringing people in? We got two people in the corner there who haven't talked in a meeting in 2 years. Okay, what if we had somebody who was a process guide who was watching that agenda, looking over there, and what we call bringing in, going, hey, Jim, how about it? Any ideas on this particular piece?
Mm-hmm.
We almost have a conscience in the meeting. Okay, that's your role. You are the conscience. You're going to make sure that we don't step over people. You're going to make sure that people are actually listening to the ideas, or if we're brainstorming, that people aren't judging what's being brought out there. You know, how many times have you been in a meeting where you said, hey, let's brainstorm, and somebody says, I got an idea, let's eat lunch on Tuesdays, and somebody says, let's make it, I don't like that idea. What happened to brainstorming?
I
thought it was a free flow of ideas. Let the process guide, or put somebody in charge, just to make sure that we're adhering to the rules of the meeting, and I'll bet you have a better meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing that happens. And that's the kind of thing that makes some business owners think that they don't need to have meetings because they don't want to get out of hand. And what you're pointing out is there are tips and tools and best practices that if you overlay them, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It's not highly sophisticated. It's just some basic best practices.
Sure.
That's all you're talking about. It's a quick break. I'm going to take a quick one, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassing, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Rob Jollis. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there that will help you. Don't forget the poll question. Rob Jollis is our guest. He's the president of Jollis & Associates. That's Jollis2Ls.com, right? Right, Rob?
That's it. Two L's and E and an S. You got it.
And that's Robert L. Jollis on the cover of his books, including The Way of the Road Warrior, including Mental Agility, including Customer-Centered Selling, which has been re-released, right?
That's right. Just came out again, and we got How to Run Seminars and Workshops. But I'll have you know, I've been knee-deep on a new book.
Really?
I'm really liking. Title is a secret. Can't talk about it, but I always promise you this. The day that book gets released, you and I'll be talking on the radio.
Well, we expect to launch it on the show as we have the others. So thank you for that. We're talking about meetings. We're talking about the importance of having meetings and some ways to conduct it. And folks, if you're a small business owner and you're feeling some frustration, your people aren't really, you don't think that they're, you know, Susie's not working with Billy and Billy's not and Johnny are not working too well together. You know, maybe you need to get them together across the table and talk about these things. It's amazing how when I used to go in these offices as a consultant, Rob, how I could literally watch the dysfunction happening across cubicles, down the hallways, on the front desk. I'd see this dysfunction because all they were doing was they were reacting to the other's problems. They weren't solving any problems like you can do in a meeting.
Yeah, you want to know something else? This is our last segment. Let's talk about one of the biggest culprits of why these people aren't getting along in meetings. Do you know that it's unhealthy, obviously, to have a meeting where people only agree on everything? So we want a meeting where people are actually going to disagree. That's okay. The problem is, how do we disagree? How do we keep it from being from somebody's ego taking a shot?
Mm-hmm.
And so remember, we got our process guide in the corner. The books will tell you disagreeing means, as long as it isn't personal, just saying, no, Jim, I don't agree with that. I believe we should go with X, Y, and Z. But, you know, there is a certain personality, a dominant personality, that hates to be disagreed with in public. So what if we phrase that? What if we do what we call a support and a build? And say, you know, Jim, I think you've got a very good idea there, and I think that we definitely need to look at when we're going to be eating this lunch. But, you know, why don't we add this to it? So what we're doing is we're sort of supporting Jim, and then we're building on that idea. And in a sense, maybe the day after tomorrow you'll be walking down the sidewalk and go, you know what, I think that guy Jollis was disagreeing with me. But why would I want to take somebody on in front of the group, particularly if it's a manager, who might have an ego issue? So just things like how.
What about? Uh-huh. What about if? What if we just said something like, Rob, just pose another question. Just say, what if we looked at it from this direction, or just any kind? Instead, what the whole point is, it doesn't matter. I think what you're saying is, it doesn't matter how you phrase it, as long as you don't take them on, as long as you don't sort of, you know, pugnaciously get in their face.
Right. As long as we don't say, ironically enough, I disagree.
Yeah.
Which is strange.
Yeah.
Look, a very healthy team can say I disagree, but I'm telling you, from walking around and being invited into meetings, that can often, you won't see it instantly. What it'll often do is it will begin to set a very small fire.
Right.
So I'll say, I disagree, Jim. You know what we should do? And wait a minute. And Jim says, yeah, yeah, yeah. But 5 minutes later, from left field, Jim takes a shot at me. And I'm thinking,
right,
what happened? What do you get?
Well, you know, another thing you can do, Rob, and this has always been very helpful, is to put the ideas up on a whiteboard.
Sure.
Here's Jim's ideas. Here's Rob's ideas. Okay, everybody, let's talk about these two.
Yeah. You know, the two
and now ones. And now this not, those aren't coming out of my mouth. They're up on a board. They're
yep.
not. They're not mine or yours. They're just ideas that we're talking about.
Right. And let's. We used to learn what's called expansion and contraction. We
yep.
always expand before we contract. So when those two ideas go up on the board, we're not even going to evaluate them. Let's expand on them.
Yeah.
What more can we add to that?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll contract.
Which one is the better foundation for where we're going?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let the group decide. And remember, we've got a process guide in the corner there,
mm-hmm.
making sure that we've got everybody brought in on this conversation. The leader isn't dominating the conversation,
right.
merely leading.
I'm going to say one last thing about this, Rob, before we wrap up.
Okay.
Folks, if you haven't been having meetings and you start doing some of the things Rob's been helping us with, be prepared for success. Be prepared to be amazed at how well your organization will start working better. What do you think, Rob?
Absolutely. And look at the math of how many hours you're meeting. Now we're going to do it intelligently and inspire people
yeah,
in those
yeah.
meetings.
And do it once a week, 1 hour, once a week, at lunch on Monday or at the end of the day on Tuesday, whatever it takes. Hey, Rob, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Pleasure.
As always, Rob Jollis, folks. That's Jollis.com. Check it out. And his books, wherever books are sold. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, today be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.